Good evening. It's Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. And this evening, on with our study of the 11th section of Psalm 119. This is the halfway mark. I will say this, the personal blessings of working through this psalm, they've been abundant. I mean, speaking personally, my brain and my heart have really been affected in a good way, and I certainly hope that these studies are blessing you as well. You know, in reviewing commentaries, most profess that God is love. But as you read on, it's heartbreaking to read and find that their research work becomes inconsistent with God's unchanging nature of love. They say that He's love, but then they ascribe unloving attributes to Him. And chains of darkness lurking within the heresies that God is mad and God is wrathful over sin, it just impairs all manner of common sense. It defies it. You know, just this week I was ministering to a very dear soul. She's been mad at herself for weeks. And I encouraged her to be motivated by love, that she should love herself into changing rather than getting so bad at herself. And she was baffled. And the reason she was baffled was this. She says, "Well, God is mad at me. Why shouldn't I be?" You know, it is indeed an evil spin on truth to have available so many clear records about God's love, mercy, and grace, and yet slander His character in the very next breath. The astonishing illogic, it can only be understood by knowing the Scriptures. Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, it is the God of this world that blinds the eyes of mental discernment and blocks spiritual understanding. Where we say God is love, and in the very next breath, God sends calamity to make us better, our child is sick so we can be better, it's just crazy. Years ago, I was listening to a man who was known for his brilliant wisdom of helping people get out of debt. And I was listening on the car radio as I was driving along, and he was taking calls from listeners. And he asked this one caller if they were mad about their debt. And he repeated throughout his broadcast that people would never get out of debt until they got so angry and mad that they were willing to do anything to accomplish the victory. And I thought, oh my goodness, that is terrible. Why can't we love ourselves enough to make changes for the better? And when you think about it, did anger lead our Lord Jesus Christ to Golgotha? You know, we may not always think so, but God's love would have to be the strongest motivational factor ever that we can tap into. Loving ourselves enough to get rid of those thoughts, to get rid of behaviors that hold us back. Our motivations of heart are paramount. This same foolishness, we're going to see it today, this same foolishness can be noted as we move through our verses 81 through 89. For 80 verses already that we've studied, David verbalized his love for God and God's supreme authority. David hungered to know everything that God would teach him. He begged for understanding for one reason alone, so that he could keep God's commandments. He needed to know about love. God's love. He needed to. You know, in these verses we're going to read, David wasn't angry. Yet, commentary after commentary tarnished the beauty of David's heart in this very private song between David and God. This is a psalm giving glory to God in the privacy of this psalmist's heart. He's so thankful for God's loving kindness, for his faithfulness, for his word that can never change. In verse 81, it starts off, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Now, in all these 80 verses, here we are now at verse 81. Nothing about David's nature has changed in this verse. So, one thing to be noted is David's passion for the word. He fully comprehended the needs of humans and looked only to God for help. And it says, "My soul fainteth for salvation." It means that God's word consumed his every breath. If he was tired at the end of the day, it was because he was just worn out mentally from thinking and working and deliberating on the scriptures. David hungered and thirsted. He longed for the salvation of God. The hope and the expectation in his heart. He could hardly wait for God's promises to come to pass in his life. It's kind of like children the night before an exciting day. You know, their little minds are so full of anticipation and promise, they can't even sleep. And every minute they endure throughout the night till morning, it's like an eternity. And figuratively, David's every breath was filled with consideration about the word, and in this verse specifically, about God's help and deliverance in his time of need. His trust and hope were in the word of promise. That's what made him faint for salvation. He knows his victory comes from God, and like a trusting child, he awaited his expectation. It was all he could do to wait. He was exhausted from just being right at the precipice of getting this, and it's not just there yet. Verse 82. Now he says, "Mine eyes fail for the word." And "When wilt thou comfort me?" And "mine eyes" is a figurative reference to his mental and spiritual faculties. Not only was his soul filled with hope for salvation, but he had this one thing in his mind's eye. When will this awaited event arrive? Not only for his present needs, but also salvation for eternity and the end of evil. His desire was strong, and he was fixed upon God. He wasn't complaining to God. He wasn't angry with God. He was excited. He was filled with hope. He could hardly wait. You know, like a child on a trip, "Are we there yet?" You know, not only are those children wanting to get out of that car and get on with the show, but they're just thrilled. They can't wait. Verse 83, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." Now, this is really a great summation of life, because first of all, understanding this bottle in the smoke. In the East, their bottles were made from animal skins, hides. And they would fill them with liquids, and they would hang them from the rafters of their dwelling, typically in the area where they did their cooking and their meal prep. And all of that heat and smoke from their cooking, it would go up, of course, and it would, over time, dry out the skins. And they would begin to become brittle. And as the liquid was used up and that skin was more empty, the skins would actually become void of moisture and begin to crack. Well, we travel through our earthly lives in these fleshly bodies, and kind of like those animal skins hanging in that hot and smoky environment, our flesh is affected by the contaminants in this world, you know, spiritually speaking. And we could dry out, yet we can choose that despite the evil world and the toll that it takes on our fleshly bodies, spiritually, we will not forget the Lord God. The world's environment may take a toll on our flesh, but the world does not have to take a toll on our hearts. Our bodies could become a bag of bones, yet our hearts do not have to be void of spiritual well-being. Verse 84. How many are the days of thy servants? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? And many comment that this is one of the verses in Psalm 119 that does not specifically mention the word of God. But how crazy is that? It talks about judgment. That is God's word. God's judgment is set in stone. He's already pronounced the judgment. How could it be more obvious? David trusted God. He's not questioning God's faithfulness. He's looking forward to the word doing what God has set from the beginning and said that it would do. And, you know, God's complete judgment did not unfold in David's lifetime, nor Paul's, and it might not come about in our lifetime. But we know and believe that God's righteous judgments will come to pass. And it will be better than any Christmas morning. It will be better than arriving at an amusement park for a day packed with fun. It will be more thrilling than a wedding. And even more wonderful than welcoming a new baby. Those things are hard to beat, but that glorious days when our Lord returns, that will surpass everything. You know, often in life, I'm sure it goes for you, but I've thought or said, well, Lord, just any day now will be okay with me. You know, no man knows the time. But there are promises, there are prophecies of that notable day. So really, whether it is in our lifetime or not, it will come to pass as the scriptures have described. We just don't have the time frame. Verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. You know, David knew who dug the pits. They were dug by those in opposition to the true God, dug by those who disdained God's laws. David had no question about where those false accusations about him came from. He had no doubt who wanted him to fail. And further, he had no doubts about trusting in God. And he was wise more than once to not rely upon his own understanding. Verse 86. all, this is what David says, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. And those who rebel against God's righteous judgments, they're going to meet up with the consequences of their own jealous and haughty hatred. Until that day that comes to pass, in the face of persecutions, we believers continue to call out to God in our prayers, to cry out to Him from our hearts, help thou me. Verse 87. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. One researcher I read had this very lovely thing to say. As long as the believer holds fast to God's precepts, he is indigestible, even to the old dragon himself. Oh, you know, it is true. You think of records in the Word. The lions had no appetite for the likes of Daniel. And even the great fish found Jonah indigestible and spit him up on the beach. And greatest of all, even death could not swallow up the eternal life that is in Christ. In Christ and all that He accomplished, death will be swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. David trusted in God's loving kindness to revive him, to enliven him. And you might have to think about this for a moment, but it's very true. I'm going to say it again. David trusted in God's loving kindness. He did not trust in his love for God. He did love God. He says it many times. And he carried out his words obediently. He demonstrated that he loved God and trusted Him. But he trusted in God's abilities, in God's faithfulness and loving kindness. His love for God came because of God's loving kindness in every situation. So when it comes, you know, it's not about our love for God, but about God's love for mankind. The Amplified Bible, I think it translates it very well, the heart of it. It says, verse 88, according to your steadfast love, refresh me and give me life, so that I may keep and obey the testimony of your mouth. And that is the nature of God. His love is steadfast. His love refreshes. It gives life and energy and animation. And it's all with the idea that we would love Him back and that we would keep and obey His word. There's a minister from the 1600s. He said, "You may pull my tongue out of my head. But not my faith out of my heart." I thought that was great. You may pull my tongue out of my head, but not my faith out of my heart. And the Apostle Paul spoke it perfectly in 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to read it starting in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And in our first study of 2024, I included a link to a song entitled Don't Look at the Storm, Keep Your Eyes on the Master. And we certainly in prayer, when it's just us and the Father, we acknowledge the storms of life to Him because He cares for us. But once we say Amen, it's both eyes on Him. We rivet our attention on Him with a singleness of heart, with a resolve, no tossing around by the waves. We expect to walk on top of the water through our God and through that Christ in us. So yes, we are in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yes, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Yes, we are perplexed, but not in despair. And yes, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. So we hold fast to what we are in Christ. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's weighty for us to remember on a daily basis. If God be for me, and we know He is, who dare be against us? Verse 32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? How ridiculous, right? Who is He that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Why would He condemn us in one breath and make intercession for us in the next? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No way. It says nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors. And that word there means super conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, I say, hear ye, the word of the Lord God, who is faithful and true. God fulfills our every need. And on that great day when we meet Christ in the air, God's judgments will unfold. And they will unfold to our complete delight and satisfaction. And in the meanwhile, God delivers daily from the oppressor. God has made us super conquerors. Like David, like Paul, we want no deliverance at all, but that which is true deliverance that comes from our faithful God and Father. Well, God's blessings to you all, and our love and prayers are for you.